Louis Erickson has agreed to a 6-year deal with Vancouver Canucks.
First time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Center ice, right?
And then he scores!
Baby!
Oh, it's skip past Pucci!
My contract sucks.
Dustin Bufflin's had a heck of a series, and Chicago in total control.
Yeah, this is all over. You can order the autopsy
now.
Fifth
selection, Vancouver select from the London Knights, OAU Levy.
Choked. Yo, what's BAP and sports fans? My name is Aaron. I'm here with Stefan. As always, he's my co-host. This is I Hate This Team, a podcast about the Vancouver Canucks. You probably know that, or you could glean it from the intro.
Yeah, I think
you're
by
a new
now,
listener.
It's probably pretty clear what's going on with the show.
Podcast art, etc.
Yeah.
What a stinker game
that
against
sucked,
the
man.
Washington Caps.
It sucks because they played honestly pretty well in the third period. And
oh yeah, no, they I thought they turned it on well. I thought the Lotto line looked good together.
Yeah.
The problem with Lotto line is even with the addition of Lindholm, the blended lines I feel aren't particularly good. And I've tried to do a lot of mental gymnastics to make it work. And
yeah.
Without Lindholm being good, I can't.
Yeah, I try not to like get too down on that trade because I think getting out from Kuzmenko, we've talked about this before, but getting out from Kuzmenko is still good, obviously. And it's the right idea. Like this is one of those ones where it's almost like the opposite of the JT Miller trade where the process was correct, but the target was wrong, you know?
It's funny. Sucks. Like I was reflecting on that like earlier today. And I remember we had Sex J on and we were talking about deadline deals. And I think it was that episode at least. I was like, I don't know about this Elias Lindholm guy. Like, I've been watching some Flames games. He isn't really popping.
Yeah.
And I wanted, like, Gensel more and Stamkos more. But
yeah.
That clearly
wasn't
going to happen.
Or Toffoli, who looks
happen.
Great, too.
Yeah. But the trade goes through, and you think of the logic of it, and it's like it checks all these boxes, like right-hand face-off guy, center or right wing, fit into your top, like, really... flexible where you can go in your lineup should help the penalty kill, etc., etc. You're like, okay, well, process wise this makes way more sense than really any other option. Price is right, the salaries work with him going in and Kuzmenko going out. You're like, this is great. And then first game he scores 2 goals, and I don't know if he's been snake bitten since, or I mean obviously the whole like moving and family stuff,
sure,
and that's why
sure.
you do the deal early, but I think you can only use that excuse for so long, because at the end of the day, like, you're an NHL player, you gotta accept the grind, especially if you're someone that wants to command, what was the rumored amount, like
$8.5 million? I think it was $9 million at one point. I mean, he's not getting that now, the way he's playing, you know? Like, I don't want to say, like, Louis Erickson vibes, because it's not like they've signed him to an anchor of a contract, but, like... Is he the most disappointing Canuck since Louis Erickson, given all the hype going in? Like
Derek Waugh, Roy.
Nate Schmidt, people were excited for a little bit there, I feel like. Although it was hard to get excited for players during the Benning era. And to be clear, Louis Erickson, I don't know a lot of people who are really excited for him necessarily, but it was in terms of like, okay, you've signed this huge contract. You better be fucking good, and obviously he wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at his first game when he scored on his own net, right?
Dog.
I forget if we ever we discussed this. I don't know if we ever actually did this or not, but it's like what like one moment summarizes the Benning era to you? And I think it's Louis Erickson in his first game scoring on his own net.
Yeah, I tried to not watch the Benning era as much as I could.
For sure.
I would say the rolling 4 straight lines with Willie.
And that was
the
first year of the Benning era.
Yeah.
Too.
And then just like off ice, I would say the Oliver Ekman Larson trade is the big legacy that I think he's going to leave. In terms of like particular on ice minutia, like I was watching games when they were on Hockey Night Canada if it fit in my schedule, because I don't know, they were really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was like no hope of it getting better. Like I remember during the Real Good Show days, like
oh my God.
I always paid close attention to like Twitter and what was going on with the team, but I just couldn't bring myself to fucking watch the shitty games.
Yeah,
because why would you?
I can't believe, like, looking back, I cannot believe how much time I wasted watching that team. It's insane. Yeah. Like, my dad and I had season tickets because they were cheap at the time, relatively speaking, right? Because the team was so bad. And it's like, I saw like 82 games of like Jason Megna and Michael Chaput. And it's that, I mean, I deserve a medal for that, I think. I should get my name on, I should get my name on the cup if they ever win it. Just for that alone.
God. Anyway, back to Lindholm. I think I said if they were to re-sign him, I think it would be Louis Erickson too, like probably 2 or 3 weeks after the trade when he was kind of cold.
Yeah.
So the beef has been squashed with the Halford and Bruss show. They read another one of my texts and laughed at it today.
There you go. What was the text?
Well, it was about Lindholm, and I asked, and I want to ask this to you as well. We kind of brought it up last episode, but do you think he's Klingberged himself?
I mean, that's kind of what it... Well, I guess you only Klingberg yourself, like, once you... Like, because who knows? Maybe, like, Klingberg's whole thing was that... Well, I guess that is... Klingberg had the offer during the season, right? From Dallas and didn't take it? So...
Yes, it was like some 7.5 multi-year deal.
Was it like 7? It might have been 7x7 or something. Yeah,
seven by seven or 7x8, somewhere in that range.
Did the Flames officially offer him a contract, or was it just what he was asking for?
I want to see news.
Because if they offered him a contract and he said no, yeah, I mean, I can't see him signing.
Okay,
like,
in December there was... Okay, I have an article from the Hockey Writers, Rupert McDonald, from December 14th of last year. The Flames themselves are interested and are believed to have authored Lindholm a maximum 8-year deal with a cap hit of roughly $9 million.
He turned that down?
That is...
If that is true and he turned that down, that, I mean, that... Holy shit.
Yeah, because that's... That's $72 million, right?
That's really crazy if he turned that down. I guess, the thought process is, and I get like betting on yourself, right? Like the thought process is the cap's going up. I can probably get even more than that. But also this is an 8-year deal, right?
And not have to play in Calgary, right? Yeah. So maybe you take like a little bit less money. You don't have the Calgary tax. And
for sure.
I guess as far as...
Probably part of it was him thinking like, this team's not going to be good anytime soon. Like, yes, I'm going to be set for the rest of my life, have a ton of money. It's going to be great and everything, but it's going to be like the next few years are going to be miserable, and I'm going to be the scapegoat for everything when it sucks, you know? Like, so
there's still Huberto, right? Huberto, like, but I think, no matter what, it's probably not going to be that bad.
But once Lindholm signed that, you know, if he had signed that deal and he's playing like he is now, I mean, he's going to become the next Huberto, you know what I mean? Like, he'll get just as much of a scapegoating, because that would have been a brutal, I mean, Calgary dodged a bullet there. I mean, and now it's like, well, the Canucks are not going to re-sign him unless it's like a 3-year deal. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to re-sign
him. Yeah, if it's like a 3-year, $6 million deal, okay, sure. And I don't know if you saw Pierre LeBrun had a piece out in The Athletic with he was talking with Patrick Allvin. There wasn't really a lot of substance
I
there.
I looked through it. I mean, it's nothing we don't really know already for the most part. Nothing against Pierre LeBrun.
Like, it was just the most, like, Patrick Allvin interview you could possibly imagine, where he doesn't really say anything.
Yeah.
I think that, what were the tidbits from it? We already knew about Lekair Mackey. They want him to come over and play in the AHL, but he's been offered he's been reached out to by the world championship team. Yeah. So, which I think would be really good for him after being called out by like the WJC. It was the coach last year, right? That called him out?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, obviously he had the great World Juniors last year, the most recent ones, but.
Yeah, but like prior to that, like he was dog shit at the World Juniors, and I remember someone called him out, and it was like this big fucking thing. So then to come back and play for like the men's national team at the World Championship seems like a pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it's good either way, right? Like I think if he comes over and plays in the AHL, that's great. I mean, if they even give him like one game in the NHL against like a shitty team or something, right? Like
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to do that.
I can't see that happening. I think it's AHL for sure, but...
That's like pie in the sky dreaming as like a fan that would love to see their new prospect. But just like the way that the team functions now, I think under Benning, when they're like, hey, look at this new guy, he's going to be good, they absolutely would have done that.
Yes. And, well, yeah, just, and if the team was bad too, right? It would make total sense to bring him in and like burn a year, right?
But, I mean, who are you scratching, right? Yeah, like, I doubt he's going to be at this point a better NHL contributor than like a DiGiuseppe or a Pod Colson, which isn't to say he couldn't be even as soon as next year, but he's got to play a bit of that North American game down in the AHL first.
Did you see the Flames thing today, by the way? I just saw this in the Hate This Team
Discord.
They
tried to sign that guy to the ELC. Yeah, but he's too old
for an ELC. Yeah. I mean, that does remind me of the Ryan O'Reilly thing, which... I mean, that is one of the biggest fuck ups in league history, and it would have been, I think, the biggest fuck up in league history in terms of like contract stuff and trade stuff.
Yes.
Because the idea, it was Jay Feaster, was it not?
Yep.
And
the GOAT.
And Ryan O'Reilly was coming over from Russia or something.
He was, I forget if it was lockout or if he had been holding out.
He might have been holding out. He was playing in Russia. The Flames sign him to that offer sheet, but don't realize he has to go through waivers first.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's right up there with it was Dale Tallon that didn't put in the his qualifying offers fast enough.
Yeah.
That would be one and two.
And these are the old boys. These are the guys in charge of the entire league, basically. So
the LeBrun thing, and going back to Lindholm. We're going to keep circling back till this is all out.
Yeah.
The tidbit was, the Lukaramäki stuff. He asked about the other pending UFAs, and basically he said, unless they come knocking saying, hey, I want to sign a really team friendly deal right now, let's get this done, it's probably going to wait till after the season's over, which makes sense.
Yeah.
They're not like hot in pursuit of any of them. And he was asked specifically about re-signing Lindholm, which kind of ballooned into that greater UFA re-signing conversation, where he said, when we acquired Lindholm, like, I reached out to his agent and said, we would love to work something out here and found this mutually beneficial for us, blah blah blah. But I mean, the Canucks aren't offering him 8x9. They better not be.
No. No.
But I think probably open market he could find someone that's more desperate for centers, like a Boston or something. And I mean, he's probably going to be losing $2 to $3 million a year, and probably without that term. But yeah,
better than Klingberg. Is Klingberg even in the NHL anymore?
He's on Robida Island in Toronto.
Right,
because
he went to sign with Toronto for the Anaheim, and then he was traded to like Minnesota, I want to say.
Yeah, so I remember. Yeah, Anaheim picked him up, and you're like, oh, this is going to be a good trade chip at the deadline.
Yeah, and he was worth nothing.
I want to say he was worthless, and then maybe he was traded to Minnesota, and then he signed like the 1 year show me deal in Toronto for, let me see here, $4.15 million. That's not too bad.
So
that's not too bad, Klingberg.
They got Andre Suster and a 2025 fourth round pick plus the rights to forward Nikita Nesterenko. So they got the fourth round pick, I think, is probably the best thing there, but yeah, I mean, I remember, like, Klingberg was, like, really good, you know? Like, let's see his best season.
He had 47 points in 74 games that platform year with Dallas.
So his best year was 67 points in 82 games, 2017 to 18. He scored, you know, from 2014, he scored 11 goals, then 10 goals, then 13 goals, then 8. Then, like, he was a good offensive defenseman.
He was, like, the dude in Dallas until Heiskanen came around. And Heiskanen was, I think, a bit of a surprise to them.
I don't think they thought he was going to be that good that fast. Probably.
No. Yeah. Well, but, like, Klingberg was definitely their, like, defenseman of the future, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, he was a fifth-round pick. Like, obviously, like, really, really good. And then, you look at... You know, he has 47 points in 74 games in that contract year, then 24 points for Anaheim in 50 games, 9 points in 17 for Minnesota, which, like, doesn't seem that bad, actually. And then, 5 assists in 14 games for Toronto, and, like, was getting turnstiled every game, it looked like. So,
yes.
I don't think Lindholm is going to crash and burn that badly, but he did not do himself any favors by not accepting. If that offer was actually out there, he fucked up big time.
You know how we always say, like, you know, someone's got to score on a bad team?
Yes.
I think there's probably a lot of that in Calgary, too, where, yes. like, I remember he went through a pretty long goalless drought there as well, but he was putting up more points per game than since he's been in Vancouver. I think he's only done, like, 7 points in 13 games since he's been here.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good. No.
So, I guess, like...
It's just crazy when that happens. I remember it happening in the NBA, too. There's a player called, I think Dennis Schroeder is his name. He's like a point guard. He's like a German player. And the Lakers offered him 4 years, $84 million. And he rejected it and ended up signing a 1 year, $6 million deal with another team. Just, like, fucked up so bad.
That is such crazy confidence in yourself. Like, I can't imagine having that much money in front of me and just not like champing at the bit.
It's brutal. I mean, I guess
get it done right fucking now.
The thing with the NBA, I guess, is that like the contracts are so massive, right? So, and teams will pay a lot of money for like middling players. So like, I do get it to an extent, but like, man, I mean, Lindholm, if that actually was the offer, like... that's really bad. Like I see,
fucked up, pal.
I can see him going to Boston, like you said. I mean, I could see the Canucks re-signing him for like a shorter term deal, but there's no chance he's getting like a 7 year, like $8 or $9 million deal. That would be shocking.
Which like really sucks because like if he wasn't on that super team friendly deal and was able to re-sign like after that 40 goal season, he would like Swedish man gets paid.
Yeah.
So we've done a really good job about not talking about that fucking game on Saturday for the first 15 minutes of the show, but we should probably get into it a little bit.
We'll talk about it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so Canuck scored, like, first shot. I was all excited. Let's go.
Great start.
First period. I haven't even bothered to look at the underlines because I pretty much guessed what they are. First period, pretty even, slight edge Canucks. I guess I will look at it now that I'm saying it. Second period, they got caved. Third period, scored effects. Canucks took over.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
They got goal lead in the third period for sure. They looked legitimately good in the third period. The second period, I mean, that missed icing pissed me off so bad.
That was rough. But again, you should play better.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing is like, you can't. I think it's more just like all these little things adding up. So like that happening immediately after like the Colorado game where there was some really bad reffing.
Yeah,
that makes it so much worse. But yeah, you're totally right. It's like, well, that like missed icing calls happen all the time, right?
Yeah.
You have to bounce back. I think the thing that annoys me is like, I believe the ref could have like corrected the call. Technically, if he wanted to, he could be like, that actually wasn't icing. The faceoff's going to be at center ice or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I believe you can. So depending on which fantasy stat you look at, I was correct in my fantasy stat.
There you go.
Rundown of the game. Like if you look at Corsi, it was 57-45-72 for the Canucks. The Canucks in the first period had more high danger chances, but less scoring chances. So they were only 45% expected goals, but expected goals was 45-32-61.
Okay.
With very score effects, I would say in the third period.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got kind of goalied. The thing that pissed me off the most about the icing goal was the Canucks won that goddamn faceoff.
I know.
And Ian Cole doesn't clear it.
Ian Cole has been kind of bad recently.
I was actually really surprised that he was still on like the main line rushes in practice today. I thought they were going to give Juleson a shot instead of him and give Cole a maintenance day. I like Cole. He's been an improvement over a lot of the shit that we've seen in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. And he started out like legitimately good this year too.
I think you can see his age getting to him.
You can see his age and you can see like he's not necessarily the type of guy you can rely on for huge minutes, right?
Yes. And if he's back next year, I hope it's in more of a seventh defender capacity making.
Yes.
Close to the minimum. Because apparently he wants to come back. And sure. I mean, he seems like a great guy in the room. And having someone like that in your number seven role, I think is ideal.
Yeah.
But the second goal, which was like the exact same goal, it was also Hronek that failed a clearing attempt. Which he seems to like to do quite often.
Every time he does that, it's like, okay, well, that's like $500,000 less on his next contract, I guess. But
yeah, I'm trying to find the there's a quote somewhere today. I went to Taj's timeline and it's surprisingly not there.
Oh, wow.
I was posting in our Discord, but basically that the Canucks, it was from 32 Thoughts and they don't want to. Okay. Yeah. No, it was Dhaliwal.
Okay.
From, I guess Friedman was on Donnie and Dolly. Elliot said that I think there is a deal to be made. The sweet spot could be in the 7.5 million range. If he is dead set above that, it could cause problems. And that's basically where I go to. 7.5. I'm like,
I'm fine. Solid I'm piece of fine business. With that, honestly, like
that's cool.
He's still like been good this year. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
I don't have absolutely. Any issues with him. Like defensively, he hasn't been great, but he's been fine. You know.
But like I knew he was defensively very good in Detroit last year, based on the underlyings.
Yeah.
And I mean, he could move the puck, which is really nice to see. Like. It is so nice watching the Canucks have more than one good defenseman.
Yes.
And that's like clearly what he's provided. I think like 7.5 is completely fine, happy, normal, good market value. But yeah, if he's asking for eight, I don't know. I don't want to get Darnell Nurse, you know?
I know. Or like Seth Jones, or I mean, there's any number of bad D-man contracts, right?
Yeah.
And like, we're finally in a situation where like, they don't really have any bad contracts anymore, right? So it would be such a pain in the ass to like finally be in that situation and then immediately sign like one or two really bad long-term deals, you know?
Yeah. Also, speaking of defenseman contracts and maybe bad long-term deals, who knows? Friend of the show, Tyson Cole, had a really good article in Canucks Army today about what it might take to sign other friend of the show, Nikita Zadorov.
Okay.
And if it makes sense for the Canucks. And it was really good. He like went and looked at all of like Zadorov's underlying numbers. And then like there's the Cervelli report from back in December where it said he was looking for 5 years, $5 million, which I think all of our initial reactions was that's pretty high. But what Tyson did is he went by and pulled a bunch of comparable players that have like similar underlying numbers, but are also like similarly sized.
Yes.
And how many like average hits they get and how many PIMs they get. So it was like the same type of defender and then ranked them by like their AAV. So the very top end of this comparable is Trouba, who makes $8 million a year.
Okay.
Don't think we're getting to there.
No.
Then
was that also a UFA contract or was that an RFA contract? Or Trouba.
Trouba would have been UFA, right? I think he just left Winnipeg when he's UFA and wanted to go to.
Was that a trade?
I forget.
Let's see. Trouba trade. Let's see. Oh yeah, because that was for Pionk and a first. Yeah.
Yeah, shows what I know. Man, he made out like a bandit there, but I guess he's their captain.
Yeah.
So of all these like big players, like you got Trouba, you got Cernak, you got Alexiak, Manson, Larson, Brendan Dillon, Brady McNabb, Will Borgad, Middleton, and Hankpa. A thing that I liked is Tyson pulled their average skating speed.
Okay.
And the percentile that they're in. And like you got below 50, below 50, 57, 56, 50, below 50. And then Zadorov, 91st.
Wow.
Skating percentile. So he is fast as fuck for anybody, let alone just his size, because that's the 91st percentile in the league. And then he's also the third biggest of these guys at 6'6".
Yeah.
And so article goes on and there was really, players like Eric Cernak, Jamie Alexiak, and Brendan Dillon can be the closest of the comparables in my eyes. But these players all make more money than Zadorov. So Eric Cernak makes 5.2, Alexiak makes 4.6, and Brendan Dillon makes 3.9.
And Dillon's a free agent this year too, isn't he? Weren't Dillon there rumors that the Canucks wanted to...
I think there's rumors that he's interested in coming to Vancouver because he is a Vancouver Island boy. I think
that's right.
Island boy. So I think like maybe if you lose out on...
He's from Surrey, actually.
Oh, he's from Surrey. So maybe if you lose out on Zadorov and you still want like a big bastard.
Yeah.
Not as fast.
No. But Dillon is older. Like Dillon like hits though as well. He's like, he's definitely so like not like Myers, right? Yeah.
That could be a good replacement for that.
Yeah.
I would still rather keep Zadorov.
Yes.
But I mean, says here that Brendan Dillon signed that contract in 2020.
Okay.
So he'll probably get a raise from 3.9 as well.
I would imagine.
And Zadorov absolutely will because, yes. I mean, the cap has grown and blah, blah, blah. Younger player, etc. So, like, Eric Cernak did, like, 8 years, 5.2, but he also helped them win a Stanley Cup. A couple of them, actually.
Yeah.
This season, that he's his, the Zadorov's closest comp in terms of hits and penalty minutes per 60. So don't be surprised if their annual dollar amounts mirror one another. So yeah, it's that's interesting because like $5 million for Zadorov seems like a lot, but at the same time, it also seems based on this that it's market value. So I don't know, man, because I love him, but I don't know if he's truly a top four defenseman, and I don't think you can. The Tyler Myers experiment has shown you probably shouldn't be.
Yes.
Paying a lot of premium for what is ideally a third pair defenseman. Granted, Myers is third in ice time amongst Canucks defenders this year, so he is a top four, top three.
Yeah.
yeah, I guess we'll see what happens.
We'll see. I mean,
my heart's going to break.
It's going to be an interesting offseason. Like, I'm just excited because we said that all the time. We say that, like, all the time for the Canucks, where it's like, this is a really important offseason. And usually mm-hmm. it's like, it's really important that they don't fuck this up. And I mean, that's still important, but now we're in a situation where it's like the team is good and it's like, oh, they can make themselves get better. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. The stakes are higher now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which is very exciting. I'm mm-hmm. looking forward to this offseason quite a bit. I think it's going to be good.
So like this kind of segues into something I wanted to ask you as well. Cause I mean, it's kind of playing with house money at this point because Pedersen signed and the Canucks are going to be in the playoffs. Those are like the two big goals going into this season.
Yeah.
And like, as we talked about in our last episode on Patreon, patreon.com/IHateThisTeam, like the expectations are higher. Like you wouldn't want them to get like crushed in the first round, but I would also be understanding if it is like a learning experience. A lot of these guys haven't played in real playoff games, et cetera, et cetera. But like, where's your concern-o-meter at based off of, you know, the last two games because they won four straight
sure.
before that?
But like just the last like month or so?
Yeah. Where it's not just been all.
I guess part of it is like
sunshine and
you can't butterflies. You can't assume that like Joshua coming back will fix everything. You can kind of assume that Demko coming back will help a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is another thing I had in my notes.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like the Canucks have less swag without Demko there?
I think I texted that to you during
yeah.
the game where I was like,
yeah, that's probably why I put in my notes.
It feels like, it doesn't feel like they're necessarily like, because I mean, obviously I think with Demko, they can play at knowing that Demko is back there, knowing you have like a top five goalie in the league back there. Like, of course you're going to play different, right? And take more chances.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're playing a little safer and they're just playing scared, sort of.
It does. Yeah. It feels like they just, yeah, there's less swag there
yeah.
because you, I mean, if you're chasing that extra goal or that insurance goal, maybe chasing isn't the right word, but you're pursuing it, you're attacking, right? You feel a lot better knowing that if you press a little bit, like at least Demko is going to be back there and he can probably bail you out.
Yeah.
Whereas I think there's just you can see a bit more hesitancy since he's been injured.
Yeah.
And Dismith's been fine. Like you let in two goals in a game, like it's really not your fault that, especially when both of them were like incredibly east-west defensive breakdown plays, right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
I can't really blame DeSmith for anything, but it does look as if the team is playing different in front of them.
It feels like
again, small sample size, but
yeah, and it's anecdotal maybe, but like it does. I feel like teams will play different in front of a backup than I mean, they definitely do, right? So
yeah,
I mean. You know, getting Demko back will be huge. Getting Joshua back will also be huge. Is that going to fix everything the way they're playing? Are they tired? Are they just kind of like overthinking things? You know, like I don't know what it is, but my concern-o-meter is a little higher than it was a month ago. You know,
yes.
Like
yeah,
when they made the trade for Lindholm, I was like, oh fuck yeah! And that was like what, a month and a half, 2 months ago at this point. That was a while.
Yeah, beginning of January.
Yeah. So when they did that, obviously that was great. And I was super hyped up. And then even like this past when they beat Winnipeg 5-0, when they beat Vegas, it was like, oh, we're back, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
And now I am a little worried that with Demko out, with Joshua not back, and just they just seem to be like out of it, you know? Like there, yeah. Like you said, there's no swagger there, right? And it's really noticeable for sure.
I wonder how much to this is like human nature, knowing that basically they could still slip to second in the division, but that's like the worst case scenario about the standings.
Yeah.
Like how much of that is just like, well, we're going to be in the playoffs. I'm not going to bust my nut trying 100% now, even though that's like what my coach is asking for, because I want to, you know, play at 80% and save myself for the playoffs. Like, yeah. Even if you're not consciously making that decision, I think there's got to be some part of you that's like subconsciously creeping up on you. And did you watch the Carolina Toronto game on Saturday?
Oh yeah, Toronto. What, they were up like by, was it a 3-goal lead that they...
Man, that was such a fun fucking hockey game. They were up 3-0, and then Carolina scores two, including one with like a second and a half left in the second to go 3-2. Mm-hmm. The Leafs go up 4-2 in the third, and then Aho scores two goals with a minute and a half left to go to OT. Carolina kills off a penalty in overtime, goes to the shootout, last shootout shooter, Gensel scores and wins. But both teams, like, very bona fide playoff teams in the East.
Yes.
Contenders. I don't know what your mileage is on the Leafs, but I mean, Carolina is definitely one of the biggest contenders coming out of the East. I think them and Florida would be the top two. I know Money Puck loves Carolina to win the cup.
With Gensel, I mean,
even with Kuznetsov as well, he just adds this other dimension that they haven't really had. He looked good. He had the world's slowest fucking shootout attempt. But the point I wanted to make was both teams weren't playing like well.
Yes.
They both had games where, again, the Canucks were having them. We would be like really pissed off the next day. Well, like
even Edmonton, lost to Columbus, right? And looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Like I think every goal that Toronto scored was like a defensive breakdown at like the blue line that led to a break or partial break that then was converted into a goal. That was definitely the 4-2 goal. There was the Tavares goal. I think the Nylander goal. So maybe three or four. I was like cooking at the same time, so I was like only half watching. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of breakdowns like that. And then like the same thing with Toronto, right? They like blew a 2-goal lead with a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
That's like that's unacceptable shit. You'd be pounding the table saying like, this doesn't behoove a playoff team. So it's not just the Canucks that is happening to. And I think if we get like really zoomed in on the Canucks, it can be kind of hard to realize that this happens with other teams as well.
Yeah.
On Money Puck right now. Yeah. They have Carolina with the highest win the cup odds at 11.5%, followed by the Rangers 10, Toronto weirdly at 9.7, the Canucks at 9.5,
okay,
and Colorado at 9.3. I don't really understand why this model has the Canucks above Edmonton. Like I know, like Dom Lecision's model fucking loves Edmonton for the cup.
Yeah.
I mean, they're based off of different things, so that's why. But I think I'll go with the one that likes the Canucks more.
Hey, 9.5%.
Money Puck is better.
I'll take that. That sounds great to me.
Yeah, I wonder why they rank Toronto so highly.
They do have a lot of good players on that team.
Yeah.
You know? It might just be that simple.
Defense, like, doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me.
No, and like
they have to, they presumably have to get through both Florida and Boston, which is kind of shit. And then your reward is probably Carolina or the Rangers, who are both really damn good too. So
it's gonna be, the playoffs are gonna be really crazy this year.
I'm so excited.
They're so wide open.
I'm so giddy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's the pillow fight to get to the last wildcard spot in the East, which Washington's in now.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I was like shit talking to them a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
They did look pretty bad. And like, they've looked great recently.
But it looks like Philly might slip out as well.
Yeah. I think they're sort of, I mean, Tortorella doesn't seem like he's having a very good time there right now. So,
Fucking Washington has a game in hand on Philadelphia and they're only 1 point back. So they could be in the, not even a wild card team, which is wild.
Yeah.
The collapse in Detroit's crazy. They're 2-8 in their last 10.
That's rough, man.
Then you have the Islanders sitting there as well. Like the Islanders could very
Buffalo?
Well.
Because Buffalo's kicking Seattle's ass right now, I think.
Yeah. Buffalo's doing their patented Buffalo thing. Yeah. But they're how many points out of a playoff spot are they? They are 6 points back and Washington has a game in hand on them. So like
okay.
Buffalo would have to leapfrog Pittsburgh, the Islanders, Detroit, and then one of Washington or Philadelphia, depending okay. on how that all plays out. So, I mean, it's still kind of anyone's game and if Buffalo keeps winning, but even though I feel like I've never seen Buffalo lose a game in the last month, they're 5-4-1 in their last 10. So yeah. I must not be paying close enough attention to them. So the other big Canucks news is the first 500 people through the gate on Sunday or Saturday got $2 off of Michelob Ultra.
Oh, bad beer, overpriced. I mean, that's just like such Aquilini bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Where like, well, to also even like post about that as if it was like a big deal is so funny too.
Yeah,
like,
it rocks. And then there's the French fry thing where yes. you got like 15 fries for $10 yeah. and it was like covered in Dick Cerato.
Although to, and people in the Discord brought this up too, like that's as much a Triple O's thing as it is a Canucks thing. So it's a combination of the fact that you're getting Triple O's, which I love Triple O's, but love you know, it. Overpriced for sure. Sometimes they're a little stingy with the fries, and then you're getting them in a stadium setting, so it's going to be more expensive. It's going to be worse. And those fries are good.
If you go to Triple O's, you got to get the garlic parmesan fries.
I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of just the regular like steak. I'm not it's just steak fries in general. Like, I'm not a huge fan of them, but the Triple O's ones are pretty good. And then like the burgers are just incredible.
Oh, next level.
That's my go. Well, people were talking about what they order at Canucks games, and I do like the steamer, like the Stan Smeal hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty good. The carve sandwich is good with like a little bag of like Miss Vicky's chips. But again, it's like $23 for a sandwich or whatever. But again, you're in an arena. Like, it's just always going to be that price everywhere, right? Like, it sucks. But
man, I went to the Flames Vegas game last week.
Yes.
And girlfriend and I got, they have like a chicken, like restaurant, whatever concession thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they have like fancy sauces as well. So you can get like a hot honey garlic sauce. They have like sriracha ketchup and root beer ketchup. They're good. It's good chicken. Like, we got two popcorn chickens. I would say regular size from KFC.
Okay.
And two large Coca-Colas.
All right.
And it was $40.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. In this economy?
That's so fucked, man. It's really insane. I mean, I remember going to, it's worse in the US, I feel like, because it's almost like, it's like the same price as like Canadian dollars, but it's in like US.
In American dollars, yeah. So it's just like proportionately worse.
Yeah, so like if I was getting a beer at a Canucks game, it's like $19 for a tall boy, which is so insane, obviously. And then it's like the same price for a tall boy at like an LA Dodgers game, but it's in US dollars. So it's like $25 for one slightly bigger than usual beer.
I had a really nice like flatbread pizza from like California Pizza Kitchen at a Dodgers game this summer. Okay. I was like, oh, it's only $20, but then that's like 20 American dollars, which you could get like a normal pizza that's large and stuff. And but you try not to think about that.
Dodger Stadium has really good food too.
Yeah. Have I told my Dodgers Stadium story on the show?
I don't know if you have.
I don't know. So when I first went there, I was like 19, and they had an all-you-can-eat section, which was like way out in the outfield.
Oh,
like
I sat there before. You didn't get an actual seat. It's in like the bleachers, right? And it's like unlimited Dodger dogs and like popcorn.
Yes. Yeah. So there was it was the Dodgers and the Mets, and there was one lone Mets fan who was like almost a caricature of what you would imagine a loud Mets fan to be at a baseball game. And the Los Doyers ended up winning 2-1, but the Mets went up 1-0 early.
Yeah.
And he was like jumping up and like, yeah, but whatever. New York voice, New York Vinny, like the outlaw character of like, yeah, the Dodgers fucking suck. Go Mets. And so then all of the cholos that I was sitting with who had 15 hot dogs started belting him with hot dogs when he turned around. And security came and he was like yelled at security, and security was like, well, you shouldn't have said anything, shouldn't you? And like didn't do anything about the people throwing hot dogs at him. So he just fucking left.
That's so good. I mean, that's what security should do for opposing fans, for sure.
Yeah, that's the respect you get.
I mean, whenever I picture a Mets fan, I picture fucking Frank.
Frank, you know, yeah, I mean, same sort of attitude as Frank. Yeah. Different body type.
But, yes, yeah.
No, the Michelob Ultra thing was interesting to me. It triggered a memory from when I saw. It was the the first like real season back after COVID. So it would have been like right after the like Travis Green, Jim Benning firing.
Yes.
But it was like during the Omicron breakout. We went to a game for like Canucks and Flames, and it was 50% capacity. So absolutely fucking dead in there, like no atmosphere whatsoever. And they didn't have any concessions open. And you weren't allowed to remove your mask at all, and you couldn't bring in even a water bottle.
That's so you're sitting there silently, basically.
Sitting there basically silently. And this game, for anyone that might remember, was a 0-0 tie that went to overtime, and Johnny Gaudreau scored an OT. So I didn't even get to see a fucking Canucks goal.
That's so brutal.
And I saw like a goal, and my mouth was so dry, and like the fucking Jumbotron kept playing this commercial for like Coca-Cola Zero, and it was like dumping into a bottle of a basket of ice, and there's condensation on it. It looks so fucking refreshing. And I get back to my girlfriend's place, and I was like, I need a fucking beer, because they were selling beer at the game. And she had a Michelob Ultra, and it was like the best beer I've ever had, just because of how thirsty I was from that fucking hellacious experience at the Saddle Dome.
That's so funny.
Seems like a lifetime ago.
I know,
man.
It seems like so long ago.
So I did have an Outlaws Generation thing.
Yes, I was going to ask about this. Because I sent you the picture on the weekend of him.
Yeah, of him and Christina Ricci.
Ricci, yeah. Where it's like, he's at Emerald City Comic Con or some sort of Seattle convention or something, whatever it is. And, I mean, the ones I always think of are there's the series of photos of like the Lakers girls with like the Lakers fans taking pictures of them, and they all look so insane. This is the same sort of vibe, and it's Outlaw who's like towering over. I mean, I think she's quite short, I believe. Mm-hmm. But he looks like Bigfoot. It's crazy. the picture is so crazy. He looks so big next to her. He's so tall as well. And he just looks like a different species of like guy. Like, he doesn't look like a human compared to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just thought about that. I'm like, I felt so bad for her in that moment. Cause like, you have to imagine he smells probably pretty bad. Right?
If you're signing up for that, I think you're getting used to a lot of Outlaws.
I think that's probably a good point, is that like, that's what you're expecting, and you're getting paid probably pretty well for it too. But at the same time, it's like, God, like, damn.
When I went to the Calgary Comic Expo in 2014, Neil Patrick Harris was there.
Okay.
And I want to say a photo op for him was like $135, somewhere in that range.
Wow.
And there was like a huge line.
Yeah.
So he's probably pulling at least 20K, if not more, from doing this, which like, hell, I'll take it.
Yeah, for like a day's worth of work, for sure.
Fucking, there was Carl Weathers was there, right?
Yeah.
And, my friend's like a huge Rocky fan, and so we went up and he like shook his hand and told my friend, oh man, that's a good handshake, you got big arms there, ha ha ha, which is pretty cool, Carl Weathers telling you that. And he bought a signed photo of him for $40, and Carl Weathers wouldn't take a selfie with him. He said, oh no, that's like a different line.
Oh my
you
God.
You gotta like, no. He's like, I'm only doing signings right now. Like, photo ops are tomorrow. It's like,
I mean, good
for
him.
It would be like another 40. You know, yeah. I mean, you gotta have your boundaries.
At that point, like, yeah. But it's like, man, it's just, that's so funny. I remember seeing Tim the Tap Man at the first TwitchCon I went to, and the line to see him was so fucking long. It was crazy.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, that's,
I don't know.
There's, I guess Nick Merckx would do like his own like meet and greet things.
Yeah.
And the photos from it are super funny because it's like at 40 degree weather in Florida in the middle of the summer. And there's all these like cop built guys standing around.
Yeah.
Like waiting to meet fucking Nick Merckx. And then like for every child, there's probably like four grown ass men standing around to meet their favorite COD streamer. It's so bizarre to me. But the outlaw thing. So
yeah.
This is him responding to a poll from Men's Room Live, which is
this is on Twitter or is he still posting?
Yeah, it's
on there?
Twitter. Yeah. It looks like a Seattle morning radio show where it's like, okay, the first tweet I see on their page is it's a Bad Choice Friday beer and party edition.
Okay,
and then the poll is Party Hard by Andrew WK or Beer by Psycho Stick.
Okay.
Yeah, anyways, Men's Room Live said you have to pick one. Here are your poll options. One round with Mike Tyson, fight off a bear, rattlesnake in your car, lose three fingers.
Okay, I mean, that's those are tough. I'm interested to see what Outlaw says here.
Outlaw says, I guess the snake.
Come on.
It is like a tough one.
Bear feels like the worst one.
You fight off a bear, no thanks. Not unless I'm in like the Grizzly Man's. Wait, not Grizzly Man. Grizzly Man is Timothy Treadwell.
Yeah.
The crazy Canadian guy that suit. Like that with the suit.
Yeah.
I bought his ebook where he talks about like the fucking communing with angels and stuff. He is like a real He died as well in like an accident, but he was just this insane fucker.
It's
that
Troy
like,
Hertrebees.
Yeah, Troy Hertrebees. He used to have all these like YouTube videos, which were like
Project Grizzly was
Project the, Grizzly.
Yeah,
I'm so upset that he deleted his YouTube videos because like he would go on these like 5-minute rants about like Apaches walking with like water in their mouth across a desert. And then they drink it when they had walked past the desert. And he claimed like he had created this like basically X-ray vision ray that could see through anything. And it was like taken from him by the French military. Like he was just like an insane crank. Rest in peace. But yeah, I'd need his suit.
And then Mike Tyson. I mean, Mike Tyson. I feel like if it's either prime Mike Tyson or now, if he gets like one punch on you, he could like destroy your life.
It says one round with Mike Tyson. Yeah. So I think probably the smart play here is you take one light hit and then pretend like throw in the white towel. But like if you have to go like the full minute 20.
Yeah. And he's just like allowed to just wail on you. Like,
yeah, that kind
of
sucks.
And that could easily kill you if he's like hitting you in the head a few times. Like that could be.
Well, and I hope you'd get knocked. Maybe get a little bit of light CTE.
Yeah.
Rattlesnake in your car. Well, maybe it's docile.
Yeah.
But and I guess it's not saying that you're driving your car.
Yeah, maybe you open the car door and it's in there and you're like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
fuck.
Yeah.
Lose three fingers, no thank you.
No, that seems bad. I kind of agree with Outlaw, maybe.
Yeah.
Just a very funny way to answer it, where he's like, I guess.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the other replies here.
Yeah.
You didn't say I got to win the round. Second bell rings, I'm laying down, refusing that 10 count. And then Men's Room Live says, you got to fight, can't just lay down.
God.
Do I get to pick which fingers? After moving to Arizona in 2021, then coming back to the Pacific Northwest, I'd rather deal with a bear than a damn rattler. I guess the snake.
Man.
It's a funny way to say it, man. Also, they're just out here, like, really putting thought into this. There was, off of this, I was listening to Canucks conversation over the weekend.
Yeah.
And someone in the chat had a very similar hypothetical that I was thinking about.
Yeah.
So it was, would you rather fight Nikita Zadorov or 30 rabid squirrels?
Probably Zadorov, I think.
Well, I think there's the squirrels is kind of like a no-win situation.
If you get rabies, because you're fucked. That's not good.
Yeah, yeah. Like if they're rabid, like they have rabies, right? It could just be like ferocious squirrels, just for the sake of argument.
Just the saying of maybe like they're rabid, like really, not actually have, because if they have rabies, they just have to scratch you and you're
maybe they'd be really pissed off, right?
Yeah.
And like I feel like I'd have a better chance of defeating 30 squirrels.
Sure, yeah.
But if you do that, you're not a good guy.
No, I know.
There's a bunch of these little rodents that you're fucking like stomping stepping on their and heads, like you're taking these lives, and they're like, squirrels are pretty cute. Like, I don't
hate squirrels.
You're not eating them afterwards. It seems inhumane.
Yeah.
Fighting Nikita Zadorov, yeah, probably going to lose.
Sure. I don't think he's going to kill you like Mike Tyson might.
He's 6'6", 235.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe we'd have some camaraderie afterwards and we could be friends. You
I
know?
Could see going for a beer with him afterwards. For
yeah,
sure,
yeah. You know? You're like, you know what? It's a fucked up situation that it was either me or those 30 squirrels, but I'm about to get paid 5 years, $5 million. I can, I'll take you out for dinner.
Yeah.
Let's go to the pint.
Yeah. I'm looking through Outlaws. He doesn't really post much on there, but this is someone saying, hey, actors, on average, how many self-tapes/auditions do you get per week? And Outlaw, like, not answering the question, like, I don't think understands the question, which is like, how many times you have to do a self-tape, like how many, you know, you're like a professional actor. And he said the way he spells probably is P-R-O-L-L-Y.
Proly.
I could probably do a couple. I do Australian, probably. Southern, Texan, British, and New York accent. Thank you, Outlaw. That is not really what they were asking. God, but
have you heard, have you seen his New York Vinny character?
Yeah, dude. It's so good.
What, Irish Mackie?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this before, but like the Family Guy voices are so fucking funny.
Stewie Griffin.
That TikTok is like, it's just so incredible. And then, I mean, you sent me the video that's like a compilation of all his best TikToks.
Yeah.
And the ones he's filmed where he's like wearing like that zip up bathing suit thing.
Yeah, the blue one.
Yeah, and he's like in his car chewing gum, reviewing gum in his car, wearing a bathing suit. And
fuck it.
Jesse, like JF saw it and was like, that's like a grandma bathing suit.
Yeah, well, here's the fucked up thing is like, he doesn't even wear it in the pool. Like in the pool, he's like in a fucking more humiliating outfit, like the Speedo thing.
Yeah.
So I think that like that grandma bathing suit that he wears is like just for working out of the gym, which is bizarre. Michael Emhud was telling me earlier that on one of his streams, the chat found that like exact like bathing suit top thing.
Yeah.
And it costs like $75.
Oh my God. Yeah. Is it like a workout thing? Like, is it like, I don't get
it's
what
it's like
is,
a weird man. Spandex thing.
Right. Like a compression thing. Sort of. It looks insane on him. It's really crazy. Oh man. He is just. I love it. He's so fucking funny. Him replying to the Slim Jim account, slam to a Slim Jim. Oh, yeah.
Well, there's he replied to another one of these Men Rooms live polls.
Yes.
You get free food from a year from McDonald's, KFC, Domino's, or Taco Bell. What do you choose?
Okay. I mean, first of all, I will say whenever they say like a year's supply of food, it's always a fucking scam. It's always like,
yeah,
it's like 52 gift cards or something where it's like, cause they're like, you're not going to eat McDonald's every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Or it's like you get a pizza a week.
Yes.
Which like,
come on.
Okay.
That's not a year's worth of food. A year's worth of food is every day. What
yeah,
are we doing
that's,
here?
That's 21 pizzas a week.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because there's one for lunch and there's one for every meal, I guess, right?
Yeah,
is what you're thinking.
Yeah,
yeah,
at the very least.
I was going to say Domino's, too, because there's kind of like their pizza is not too bad. And you wouldn't
it's
have
better
to
now.
You wouldn't have to have it every day. It's the option,
yeah.
Right? Taco Bell. I've only had Taco Bell a few times and it has made me sick every single time.
Really?
Yeah.
And we don't really have any in Calgary anymore.
No,
you have to like really go looking for them.
There was one out here a while ago and I don't know what the reasoning is for it. That it's not. I don't know why there isn't one up here anymore, but it's not great. And then McDonald's is like, it's fine, but like, you can't be eating that like all the time. Whereas with Domino's, it's like, okay, I could see myself ordering a Domino's pizza every Friday for a year. You know why? Because
yeah.
I basically did that when I was like a kid. So
exactly. Yeah. Like it's not my, it's probably not even my third choice for getting a pizza.
No.
And I know the owner of Domino's really sucks.
Yeah.
But
I mean, all the owners of all the fast food places suck too. So.
Like, oh, he was a major Trump funder. Like,
yeah.
Color
oh, yeah,
me
they
surprised.
All were. Yeah.
I think the Domino's guy might be particularly awful.
Yeah.
But I like their wings.
Yeah. I like their their cheesy bread. The Cinnasticks are good, honestly.
Yeah, that's like, always really good.
As far as like fast food pizza goes, it's like decent. You know what I mean? Like they rarely fuck it up. Just like a pepperoni pizza from Domino's, it's like, yeah, I'll have a couple slices of that. You know, it's fine. What was the other option? Burger King?
I was reading about the guy from
is McDonald's KFC. Oh yeah, KFC is that's even lower than Taco Bell. And Taco Bell, I'm not a huge fan of. So
I like their new spicy chicken sandwich. I mean, I haven't had it in probably a year, but when it came out, and they were like making their big play to push Popeyes or to compete with Popeyes, I suppose.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
It might just be an issue where all the KFCs in Vancouver are bad. Also, maybe. Because we have KFC out here and it sucks. We have what used to be Church's Chicken and is now Church's Texas Chicken. And that's not great either. We did finally get a Popeyes out here recently. Like, there was one out in like Langley, I want to say. But there is finally one in like Vancouver, like downtown Vancouver.
We've had that for a couple years now.
Popeyes fucking rocks, dude. Popeyes is really good.
Ooh, their fucking commercial about make tonight like a wing night or stay at home wing night.
Yeah.
It was playing during a lot of hockey games. It got me. And those wings are banging. The honey barbecue.
Their shrimp is really good. Like the popcorn shrimp at Popeyes is really good. Their Cajun fries are great. And then just like the Popeyes chicken sandwich. I mean, it's a classic for
a reason. The hype is real.
It's so fucking good. It's crazy how good it is. And I mean, part of it is like, we just got it up here. Right. So it's like, there's a bit of novelty to it, but like, man, Popeyes fucking kicks ass.
Okay, I've got a fucking outlaw replying to Andrew Tate.
Oh, no.
Andrew Tate said, I will give $100,000 tonight. Simply retweet and comment below. And outlaw said, I would love to have that money.
Oh, dude, yes. That's okay. Yes. JF and I will say that to each other all the time. I forget. One of us found that post years ago. And I would love to have that money is like such a funny phrase, and just picturing Outlaw saying it out loud is so good. Him just looking at his computer, seeing that post and being like, I would love to have that money.
Oh, fuck.
Can you send me a link to that actually?
I'm gonna retweet it. It's funny. I was like looking at who the retweets were. Like it's Alex. It's Alex's wife. It's a couple so other people good, from our dude. Community.
I'm going to send that to Jesse right now also.
I would love to have that money. That's the opposite of what Elias Lindholm said to the Calgary Flames when they offered him $72 million. Dollars.
Yep.
I would not love to have that money. I would love to have that money somewhere else, potentially Boston.
Yeah, and now he
or Vancouver
can't have that money anymore, unfortunately.
Well, not unless he picks it up and scores. I just saw that like, it's a good thing you're off Twitter. John Fetterman, there's that like really zoomed in selfie of him. Oh. You know that picture?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just saw it. She gave me a jump scare.
That's not good. Man, Twitter is just so, I mean, I still have the hockey account and everything to like just look at stuff. And well, we're doing like a sponsored stream and they were like, can you guys like tweet out this thing? And we're like, can we post it on Instagram? And they're like, oh yeah, that's fine.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Well, go off Kings. You guys are still on there. I mean, you haven't tweeted since October,
the account is still there just in case. And I mean, my account is still like technically around. I just, it's just deleted now, but I have to, you know, undelete it every month or so. Which is super annoying, obviously, but I'm holding out hope that, you know, something really good happens and I can start posting on there again, you know?
Yeah.
Because it might.
Well, good times.
Good times.
Okay, I thought I was looking through some Outlaw stuff, and it's just this radio show from, it's a beer-inspired Bad Choice Friday, Toby Keith versus Luke Combs.
Okay.
It's Big Dummy Day, and here's your poll. You have to make an announcement. I lost my job, STD from a hooker. I have a warrant dating my step-sibling.
What?
Yeah, I'm definitely going with STD for like from a hook. Like, dude, this is fucking 2024. Like, why are you talking like that?
Oh, dude. He's so...
And like, clearly I lost my job is better than like coming out and announcing I have a warrant for my arrest.
Man, he's so
funny. Dating my step sibling.
God, I'm going to look through a bunch of his posts again, I think. He is so fucking funny, dude.
He rocks. The best Outlaw Search is Birthday.
Oh, when he's tweeting at the wrestlers and stuff, it's really
and Donald Trump.
Yeah, man. Oh my god. I mean, the best Joey post of all time. I think there's a few, but I think the one where he tweets at Elon Musk and is like, "Hello, Mr. Musk. My name is Joseph Hernandez. I review food in my car. I would be honored if you would film a review with me in my car."
Stupid motherfucker.
God, dude. Fuck.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
check out Fast Food Reviews. Go Canucks, go. Bye.
Bye-bye. Did somebody say just... Want my curry in a hurry, extra sauce on the low. And I want acai, yeah, 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 when I'm ordering delivery. A little sushi while I watch a movie, papaya salad while I sing a ballad. Need some ice cream, make it a swirl, gotta treat this California girl. Somebody say just